Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Well, thank you for joining me today from wherever you are, and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. If you've just recently joined us here on God Is, then you should know we are in the middle of our series with the title God and Man and Woman, which is rooted and grounded in the second chapter of the first book of the Bible, Genesis. We are reading through this chapter in order to discover who we are as men and as women according to God. The Bible tells us not just who God is, but the Bible also tells us who we are. Now, thus far, we have learned a lot, and there is still much more to discover. I hope that you will stick with us each Monday through Friday at this time on this radio station and or on the God Is podcast found at godisministry.org. Today we will move from verse 18 to verse 19, and I want to begin by reading Genesis chapter 2, verses 18, 19, and 20. If you want to find your place in your Bible, this is Genesis 2, verses 18 through 20. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him. This is an interesting approach that God takes in how he gives the scripture to us. In verse 18, which we finished discussing last time, God makes a declaration. "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Now, I don't know about you, but if I am God, I then describe how I made the woman who is a helper suitable for the man. At this point in the narrative, I introduce the woman. But God chooses not to do that. Instead, between verse 18, where God tells us he will make a helper suitable, and verse 21, when God actually gives us the details of how he created the woman, we get verses 19 and 20. Here, God brings up the animals. And so I, at least, am curious. Why? Are you also curious? What I will do is answer this question succinctly and then show you why I believe this to be true. The reason God gives us verses 19 and 20 is so that we know God is our teacher. God taught Adam. God teaches us. God is our teacher. The question is, what kind of a student are we? There is nothing that satisfies a good teacher more than a good student. In fact, all really great teachers are themselves excellent students. Teachers never stop learning. We teach that which we learn, and so we are learners before we are teachers. Likewise, nothing disappoints a teacher more than a bad student. There is that person in every classroom with unlimited potential that does not apply himself or herself as a student and therefore never really learns. This creates great heartache for the teacher. We each have one ultimate teacher, and he is God. Likewise, I believe God delights when we apply ourselves as good students of himself and his son Jesus. But when we are bad students who do not learn well, then this is displeasing to God and his son Jesus. God is the teacher. Adam is the student here in our text, and so let us see what the subject matter is. Perhaps we could title this course, Man and Animals 101. It is a basic introductory class to life on earth as a human with God as the professor. Later, we are going to find God's course outline. The professor will share with us what he was teaching Adam at this point in time in the garden. But what I want to do now is address what God is not doing in these verses. This will then translate into why I say God is Adam's teacher and God is our teacher. If a person sits down with their Bible and simply reads Genesis 2, verses 18 through 20, it will be possible to conclude that God is not a teacher, but rather a confused, experimenting scientist bumbling about the garden. Let me show you what I mean. In verse 18, God declares it is not good for the man to be alone, and so God will make a helper suitable for the man. But then God trots out the animals, and God is watching to see what man will call them. Then verse 20 says, "But for Adam there was not found a helper suitable for him." So, shall we conclude that God was unable to make a helper suitable for the man from all these animals? God tried and failed. The Lord is unable to do what he said he would do back in verse 18. Is that what we should conclude? Well, of course not. This is God we are dealing with here. But when you read verses 18 through 20, you can see how it is possible the reader might make that conclusion. It is a wrong conclusion, but this points to the necessity of good interpretation when reading the Bible, especially if one reads it quickly and casually, rather than slowly, intentionally, and with study. The truth is, the best interpretation is that God does not set out to make a helper suitable for the man from animals. No, rather God is teaching Adam something by commanding him to name the animals now. And we will get to what these lessons are when we look at God's course outline. These animals have already been around. Genesis 1 records God creating them. It is only that here in Genesis 2, Adam names them. Let me quote from H.C. Leupold on this misinterpretation many have after reading verses 18 through 20. Quote, "The crudest misinterpretation of this giving of names to the creatures is that rather common claim, utterly without warrant in the text, that God was experimenting to produce a mate for man, and when it was found that of the existing beings none adequate for him had been produced, then God proceeded to make woman. Surely the text never intended to convey that impression." End quote. And I agree with Dr. Leupold. The truth is, the best interpretation is, God does not set out to make a helper suitable for the man from animals. Rather, God is teaching Adam something by commanding him to name the animals now. God is teaching. And all good teachers give to their students at the beginning of the semester a course outline. We can call it God's syllabus, his curriculum for Adam in the garden in Eden. So, let's watch God teach Adam in these verses. And this will take us a couple of days to do. Let us begin with the first lesson. Up first, God wanted to teach Adam to fulfill Adam's responsibility. If we go back for a moment to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, we again find the command of God to man. I'm reading Genesis 1, the second part of verse 28. God said to them, "Rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God gave man a responsibility. God commands the man to rule over all the animals, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Well, now back in Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20, man exercises, man fulfills that responsibility. Adam rules over that which he names. We also rule over that which we name. It may sometimes be questionable as to who is the boss, you or your dog, you or your cat. Your pet is cute, and he or she gets away with anything. But ultimately, you rule over the pet you have named. Simply, You have the food and the water your pet needs to survive. You rule, and they submit to your rulership. God has made it so. Genesis 1 and 2 proves this. Animals submit to the rule of man and woman over them. You can use the Bible as justification for why there will be no more scraps from the table for your pet tonight. Quote God to them. Ah, poor puppy, poor kitty. Maybe some of you have a pet bird, a lizard, a hamster. I once had a pet turtle. Whatever the case may be, you rule, and you decide if they get a treat or not. In Genesis 1:28, Adam is given the command, the responsibility, and in Genesis 2:19 and 20, Adam obeys the command and fulfills his responsibility. Do you see this first lesson on God's syllabus? I am tempted to move on to the second lesson, but with limited time, we are better served if I pause here for today. I always loved being a student. I am a fan of school. I enjoyed lectures packed with stimulating material. I always favored professors who came prepared and never let a minute go to waste. Better too much content than not enough. And yet, a professor has to be careful not to do too much at one time. Every so often, the class would nearly be at the end, and the teacher would launch into a whole new point. Well, I hope to avoid that here. All students need time to reflect on what has been taught. So let us think about what the Lord has taught us today. I am not really the teacher here. The Holy Spirit of the living God is. My prayer is that you will not only listen to God is, but that you will apply what you learn to your life. Now, I am trying to do the same in my life. Between now and tomorrow, let's do this. And then we'll meet right back here as we continue to discover who God is. And also as we discover who we are.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.